That's one of your pieces of music, isn't it, Paul? Thank you. In some ways, this service is going to be an introduction. Turn to your back of your order of service for a moment. We don't talk a lot, at least in the Unitarian Universalist world that I've seen, about six sources. We tend to talk more about the seven, at present, seven principles that are obviously very important in terms of our faith and our spiritual practice. But six sources are literally the sources that drive how we understand the principles and understand our spiritual practices of life. And I'll talk about them more next month. I'm going to do at least two services because I think they're a part of our theology that we don't pay enough attention to. And you'll note that the fourth one down, and I've changed it slightly, Jewish, Christian, and Islamic teachings, which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves. And that's one of the six sources. So listen away as an introduction. Stay tuned. So why is Jesus still, as a teacher, still so important to us all these years later? Palestine at that time had a lot of would-be messiahs wandering around and teaching and prophesying. And we don't know really any of their names, except maybe John the Baptist. But the others have disappeared. But for a whole set of reasons, time, place, occasion, Jesus of Nazareth and his ministry stood out. So as Unitarian Universalists, who sometimes have had a rather nebulous connection to Christianity, the question comes up, why bother? Well, this is a start. We heard three parables tonight. The parable of the new wine and old wineskins can remind us that new ideas come along wonderfully, but if the container which they are put in breaks, then they don't have a lot of worth at that time. The second parable about the lost sheep takes on new interpretations with every generation. A person repents and is saved. An addict who is lost is found and brought back to sanity. The last parable, the Good Samaritan, has many interpretations. The famous one, and it is the most famous of Jesus' parables, is a reminder about how we should treat our neighbors and then in turn be treated. Its meaning also changes and has many interpretations because it is a wonderful story. Because what Jesus was really wonderful at was telling stories which resonated with people, which had universal truth. So I'm going to say a few words about the Good Samaritan. Well, the first one is, who is the most important person in that story? Well, the injured person on the road might say, me, because they need medical help immediately, or else they'll probably die. We should certainly consider the Samaritan, who, by the way, is a heathen in Jewish culture. We might judge the Samaritan to be the most important because they do stop to help the injured person, and they go on to take the person to an inn, give money to the innkeeper, and promise to come back and pay more if needed. The Good Samaritan is a person who just doesn't wave and go on by. I expect many of us would put ourselves in the place of the Good Samaritan because those are the kinds of people we are. We care about people. We care about the hurt, those who have suffered injustice, and yes, those who are lost. I suspect that also for some religious communities, we would all be considered heathens. So that would fit in as well, because then that's what the Good Samaritan was. But what about the priest and a Levite who crossed the road to avoid the seriously injured person? Do they have any importance in this story? It almost seems like they're just minor characters going across the stage. They have nothing to say, they have nothing to do, they just walk across and disappear. But of course, in some ways, they are the most important as well. The priest of the temple, as well as the assistant, the Levite, must cross the road to avoid the injured person because they do not know if he is alive or dead. The Jewish purity laws of that day prohibit them from touching or even being close to a dead body. And if you lose your purity, according to that system, you can lose your job, which means no longer a priest, no longer a Levite as an assistant. You are essentially banished. And it's really hard to get that purity back. So they crossed the road. They avoided because they were trapped by their own purity system. They could not help. They might have wanted to, but they couldn't, because otherwise they would be impure just as the Good Samaritan was. They're trapped. The Samaritan is not pure because according to the Jewish laws of the day, he was a heathen. He was impure. So he didn't have to worry about any of this. Here's the question. A good story has us in every character. We can see an image of ourselves in many characters in stories because that's what a good story is. So would we be just the Good Samaritan in a story? Or would we be the injured person left alone on the road, possibly to die? Could we also be the Levite and the priest, because our own particular way of understanding the world or being in the world prohibits us from getting involved because we just couldn't do it? Which one would we be? And I wonder if we would be all of them at one time or another. Because instead of being one, the Good Samaritan, and then the others, well, they're just minor characters, good stories say that we're all of them. It's not an either or, but a both and. So that's one interpretation that I think might be important as we read this story over and over. The second interpretation of this parable involves the word mercy. Now, some of you took the Jesus Reconsidered class that I taught a couple of years ago, just before COVID hit. You may remember that the word mercy, which is what the lawyer says, by the way, is not really the correct word. The religious theologian Marcus Borg, who was one of my teachers at seminary and later wrote a number of books, including Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time, which was a text that we used in that class, what he said over and over is that the real meaning of that parable is not mercy, which most of the traditional Bible texts use as mercy. He said, no, that's not correct. He said that mercy is a judgment. You're wrong, and you're all going to hell. That's judgment. And if you repent and you give all your money to the church, then you probably have mercy and go to heaven. I think that's how it goes. But that's wrong. Compassion in Hebrew is akin to the word womb, W-O-M-B. To have compassion for another person is to embrace them, to protect them, to take care of them just as a mother will take care of the child in her womb. And eventually, hopefully, the child is born, and then life begins. Typically, would we feel, we here in this room, would we feel more comfortable using the word compassion rather than mercy in this parable? Because what Dr. Borg said many times was that compassion is a partnership. Yes, it's one person taking care of another, or a community taking care of the injured in the tornadoes. It could be almost anything, but it is in many ways a companionship, a partnership, rather than a judgment. This suggests to me that parables in Jesus' teachings are still essential to us in the 21st century, because one of the things that we have a gift to do and be and say is that words change their meanings, and words are not defined by just one definition. Words have many meanings, and we can interpret them in any way we wish, and that's where the crux comes in to how do we use words to heal and not to harm. Can people in this age, in this century, in this decade, hell, this year, can people learn new ways of being together and using new wineskins instead of old ideas? Is our natural response to the people who have been lost to try to help them? I believe that is our natural state. I do not believe personally that we are broken sinners, but inherently whole. I also wonder if we are bound as Americans right now to our own purity laws on all sides and don't dare break them. I wonder in this polarized age about the disagreements about masking or critical race theory. If you disagree with either of them, do you become impure and therefore alienated? I don't know. It's a question I keep asking myself. Are we bound to purity in this day and age as we're asked to take sides? So which one of those in the Good Samaritan parable is us? Well, it could be all of them at one time or another. The injured man, the Samaritan, and the priest and Levite, we can find ourselves in all three of those particular characters. But the nice thing is, as Unitarian Universalists, we are not bound to any particular holy book or doctrine. We can make choices ourselves. And our choice, if it is to heal rather than harm, is again the attribute and story of Jesus' teachings. And that is why I think they never grow old, the parables. They are universal stories of wisdom. Because Jesus, after all, was a teacher of wisdom. And his voice continues with us today, along with so many others. So, Merry Christmas if you do that. Happy holidays if you do that. Happy solstice. Happy Kwanzaa. Take your pick. They're all good.